Hello, everybody. Susan Baracco here. Welcome to our call today, our coaching call. Glad to see you. We've got some new folks I see coming on the line. Jeff, welcome. Glad you're here. Jim has joined us. Zelko is here. Holly, Janet, Melanie, Victoria, we've got a nice group. Welcome, everybody. Got some new faces. So those of you who are new to the B2B Launcher program, welcome. If it's your first call, welcome to that as well. And we have a bit of a process that we go through on these calls. And you'll see as I go through, I've got slides to kind of walk you through the process so that you understand how this works. But it's very simple, easy to follow along, and easy to participate. So I would love it if you would just say hello to me in the chat. That way I am sure that you can hear me. Today's call is being recorded as it always is. So if you have to leave early or for those folks who are unable to attend, many folks have full-time work and can't break away for these. So we record them so everyone can go back and listen. And thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Jeff. Great to have you guys here. Thanks for letting me know. And we always start with a just for fun question. And so today is, what was your favorite childhood treat? And this is always, I typed this in today and I'm thinking, I wish it could still be it's still one of my favorite treats, but I can't eat it the way I used to. Certainly not when I was a kid. Jeff said pizza and milkshakes and nothing's changed. Oh, ooh, a good milkshake, boy. And I am a pizza fan too. So yum. I was chocolate ice cream. That was like my favorite thing as a kid. I just loved chocolate ice cream. So yeah, Thomas, right there with it. So much fun. And I still do eat it, but not like I used to, that's for sure. Awesome. Alexa, hey, you're here. Welcome. Glad to have you. Victoria says chocolate mint ice cream. Wow. Yum. Melanie, banana milkshakes. Isn't that interesting? Sounds good. Yeah, Jim says since he's from Chicago, it's always been pizza. Fun. Well, we are going to get started here in just a moment. I usually like to just give people a chance to jump on. So I am going to move ahead to our next. Alexis is glad you're here. Banana split Sundays, really. Oh, yum. This was probably not a good question to ask. So now I'm like craving this stuff. So wonderful. All right. So we're going to move on and start with our first slide, our first question. And I always like to start out with a question about wins and what have you seen as a win for yourself in the last few days, week, maybe month? And it can be big or small. It doesn't matter. Even if you've completed a session in the program or you've taken a step in a new direction and implemented something, whatever it is, would love to hear any wins that you'd like to share. It's one of my favorite parts. And I want to encourage everyone on the call today. We have a nice group, but please, please participate. Join in the chat conversation and ask questions and be involved. It's the best way to get a lot out of this time together. And it's an ask me anything kind of a format as well. So no question is silly. No question is too small or too insignificant. I often try to encourage people to just, you know, use this, leverage this time and the ability to ask any question that you'd like. All right. So Holly Owen says cinnamon rolls. Yum. All right. Jeff says got sidetracked, but I'm back on course. Holly says, I finalized my website and about to submit it. Really excited to see it coming together. Great. Good for you, Holly. I will most likely be taking a look at that for you. So congratulations and a great win. That's a fair amount of work, isn't it? It really is. Oh, and Victoria, hey there. finally starting to make peace and get some traction with Squarespace. It's been a struggle. I saw your, I think I saw your comment on Facebook about struggling with Squarespace. Actually, I think an email, right? I think you and I emailed. So glad to hear that you're kind of turning a corner there. So if you're not really comfortable with tech, sometimes these things, everyone else thinks they're simple and you jump in and it's more complex than you were expecting. So take your time and definitely glad to hear that you're maybe making some progress there. That's great. Janet says, I think my website is done. I'm about to submit it as well. Great. People have been busy. Love to see this. Jim says, getting some inquiries back from my emails, nothing serious, but at least people are responding. That, Jim, is actually a huge win. That is a huge win. Sometimes you send those emails and they go into that black hole and never to be heard from again. And the fact that you're getting responses is just terrific news. So congrats. That's really good. Keep us posted on Facebook on how those go. That's awesome. Thomas is completing session 7 this week, finalizing, selecting my first 10 prospects and drafting emails this weekend. Wow. You've moved right along through the program, Thomas. That's awesome. And that's great progress. Great, great progress for you. Nice wins. Thanks, everybody, for sharing that. We've got some good things going on in this group. People are active, and I love to see that. So don't hesitate to use to the Facebook group. I'll probably repeat that several times today during our call, just to remind people, don't hesitate to use that in between these calls for support. Ed checks those questions all the time. He's in there probably every other day at the least, depending on what he's got going on. So one of us has always got an eye on that. So Melanie says she got a quote from Proofread now and about to submit website copy for proofreading. Great. Awesome. Thomas, another win. I had professional pictures taken for my website. Very happy I did. Absolute huge win. If there's one thing I could encourage you to do strongly is to have a professional take some photos for you. You don't have to spend lots and lots of money. You should be able to find someone who can do some pictures for you, but they are so useful. I had mine done probably a year ago, I think, something like that. And the photographer is a friend of mine, a woman that I've known for years. She was fabulous. We did lots of different shots. And what I like is that you can, once you have these professional photos, you use them in so many different places. For example, I use a couple different poses, if you will, on my website. So does Ed. If you go to his website, you'll see a couple different kinds of pictures of him. And not only to keep it interesting on the website, but also for places. So then I use that same photo across all my social media platforms. So if you look for me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, you'll see the same image. So it's consistent, and that's really cool. And then I also use it if I have a speaking opportunity and people are asking for a bio and a headshot. They want to promote you a little bit, that kind of thing, whether you're doing a webinar or you know, other kind of speaking opportunity. It's nice to have a picture you're proud of and feel good about sending out. So it's a great idea. Definitely strongly recommend it for anyone. And Zelka says, revisioning my website copy from pure technical to more marketing style, and it looks much better. Yay! I'm glad you found that helpful. Glad you found the ideas I gave you helpful. So good. Good. And then Jim says, as a side note, I really appreciate the responsiveness of the Facebook group. I've been part of other mastermind Facebook groups before, and they were dead or not helpful. So everyone definitely is. You know, Ed really is committed to making sure that all the Facebook groups that he has as part of his programs are active. And so he has, I'm involved in the Facebook group, but he's got other team members that you'll see popping up here and there. And we're all there to make sure that people are getting supported. And so I'm glad and to hear that, Jim. I appreciate the feedback, and I will definitely pass that on to Ed as well as that, you know, the Facebook group is a terrific tool, and that's why we try to really encourage people to use it, because we're here for you. I'm in there every day checking on questions and submissions and things. So don't hesitate to jump in there and leverage that to your advantage. Really great part of this program. The next question that I like to ask is just what material are you implementing? Some of you shared that in your wins as far as where you are in the program. But if you didn't have a chance to do that and you haven't jumped onto the chat to share anything yet, please let me know. And type in a capital I. It helps me to, when I scan through the chat, when everybody's typing in, I can tell. That way I won't miss anything. And if you type in a capital I and let me know what you're implementing, are you working still? Some of you are obviously still working on your website. Some of you are a little further along and doing different things, getting deeper into the prospecting and learning about warm emails and things of that nature. So just type anything in that you might be working on right now. And that would be helpful to let me know where you are, either that or where you are in the program. If you're just starting another session, let me know which one it is. Janet says, I'm working on being done on the website and not perfect, so I can submit it. Absolutely. Love that. Ed says, talks about that a lot, is that, you know, done is better than perfect. And one thing I can tell all of you, just keep in mind when it comes to your website, if you've been working on it or you're just getting started, no matter where you are, if you saw my website 5 or 6 years ago when I started, 6 years ago, and you look at it today, it's night and day, and they don't look anything alike. I've pivoted and tweaked and changed and, you know, over time, because I've done different things. When I started writing, I was doing a different type of writing than I am today. I have a different client base, a different target audience. So tweak, tweak, tweak. You know, you're constantly fine-tuning. So make sure that not to worry too much. Get it done. And it's something that you're happy with. And just get it started because it's going to change. Just know that it will change. And probably in not too short amount of time, you'll be making changes or wanting to make changes to the copy and the look and things like that. All right, Jim is working on through session 5, delayed this last week because I'm struggling with work schedule and family needs, but getting back on that and sorting out some options. Good for you. Good for you. You know, Jim, the best thing to do is just schedule small amounts of time so you don't feel overwhelmed. Many people who come through this program are working full-time. They do have families, just like you, and you know, there's a lot of other things competing for your time. So what we usually say is small steps are still steps, and you know, kind of cut back and don't overdo it. You know, I think everybody comes into this program wanting to, yeah, I want to jump in and go through it, but you got to kind of manage it effectively. You know, manage your time so that you're not getting too burned out. And Zelko says, arranged WordPress settings and hosting of the website. Good for you. Moving forward. That's great. Holly, for her implementing, is about to revamp my LinkedIn, but thinking I should get feedback from my website first and then apply that. Absolutely, Holly. That's what we recommend. Your LinkedIn should be, think of it as a mini website of you. Your personal profile. And so once you get the copy on your website where you want it to be and you're happy with it, then you take that messaging and you just basically copy and paste it into your LinkedIn profile in the summary because you want the message to be the same. So no matter where people find you, whether it's your website or LinkedIn or any of your social media platforms, really, you want the messaging to be the same. You want the familiarity so that when they land there, they know, oh, yes, this is Holly. That's right. I remember her from seeing her on LinkedIn. Yes, this is her website. It's clear that it is. So we want to carry that branding across all platforms. So absolutely. Website first, LinkedIn second. Great. All right. Well, thanks, folks. I'm going to move on and jump into the questions session portion of the call today. And the way that we run questions is I ask you to type a capital Q into the chat so that I am sure that I know that it's a question, and that way also I don't miss anyone We've got a good sized group here today on the phone. So I definitely would like to have you remember to put a cue in there. Keep your question really focused and specific. To start with, I'd like to have you submit just one question at a time. I'm pretty sure today we'll have time to go back. If you have more than one question, that's terrific. But we should have time to come back around to you. And tell me maybe one or two things that you're thinking about as solutions to anything that you might be considering. And Jeff has jumped right to the front of the gate here. Good for you, right to the front of the line. His question is, I'm terrified to talk with business people. I don't know how to tell them what they want to hear. I'm not good at reading between the lines when people speak. I guess that's because I'm so straightforward. I'm nervous to have phone conversations. Once people work with me, they love me because I'm helpful, dependable, professional, and a great listener. The problem is just gaining their initial trust. That is a great question, especially if you're new to this. One of the things, Jeff, and everybody on the phone and anyone listening to the recording, oftentimes people come into this program and they've been working in a corporate position or some kind of a job for their whole lives, and they've never had to go out and do this. They've never had to go out and network. They've never had to go out. Someone else did all of that, and they just kind of worked behind the scenes. So, and it sounds to me, Jeff, like you might be a little bit of an introvert as well. Maybe that's just that getting started can be really challenging. And I certainly understand that. Probably the best thing that I could do in regards to helping you with this idea is you've been in the program now for a little bit. I think you've worked your way through a couple of sessions. Go back to your positioning statement and create an elevator pitch, if you will, that you can memorize and get really comfortable with, and one that you're happy with, that can kind of roll off your tongue very easily. If you're prepared with how to explain what you do, that will be helpful. That'll be a good thing, good place to start. So I would definitely recommend that you get just some comfort around that. And then the other thing that is good is to really put together a list of great questions. And that way, the onus is not so much on you to do the talking, but if you can ask good questions, it gets the prospect talking or the other person. And then you can listen for other things that you might want to ask additional questions about or find common ground. So that's something that I always ask. So tell me about your business. How long have you been in business? What's your favorite part? Why did you get into this business? Ask them something that are passion-based questions. So what do you love about what you do? What do you love about your business? And what spurred you to get into this business? And those kinds of questions really help to light people up and get them to warm up. So I would go with genuine questions along those lines, like, oh, tell me a little more about your business. Why'd you get into that? How did you get into that? And most people will laugh and say, oh, that's a funny story, blah, blah, blah. But it helps them to, when you're asking those kinds of questions, people really do warm up and think, oh, okay, that's nice. It's not just tell me about your business, but like, why'd you get into it? Is it kind of a cool question to ask? And it's, people really do light up. And sometimes, like I said, you can find some common ground with this person, like, oh, I went through something similar. Yeah, I got into my business because, and then you can share a little bit about what brought you to copywriting and freelancing. So, be prepared. I think the best advice, the short answer is be prepared. Have something really comfortable to say that explains you and your business and the value you bring, but then also be prepared with some good questions to ask so that you get them talking. That's always something that that I find is really helpful. People like to talk, they do like to talk about themselves. It's true. So I think some good questions that really kind of are a little bit different, maybe get them enjoying, what's the best part? Do you have, how big is your team? Is there, tell me more about the team. Like who are your star players and that kind of thing. And, help them to just start thinking positively And I think it'll help you to relax as well as help them to relax and start to, so that the two of you could get to know each other. So just type in the chat, Jeff, if that is helpful, or if you'd like, I can always bring you on if you want to, if you have a deeper question as we move forward. I'm going to roll right along here. Thomas is the next question in line that I see. And his question, my niche or niche is IT and my website is IT focused. How do I spin it so it makes sense to prospects who don't do IT to use me as a freelance writer? So Thomas, I'm hoping you can come on the line and talk. I'm going to unmute you here for a moment because I do have a question about that. Hey, Thomas, are you there?
Hi, Susan. Yes. How are you?
Hey, good, good, good. So tell me a little bit about what you're thinking, because you're focused on IT. It sounds like that's your background, but tell me what other types of prospects are you thinking about approaching?
So a lot of my contacts and like acquaintances and family friends and previous coworkers don't all work in IT, but I know a lot of them have a lot of connections. And I see a lot of possibilities in people that I know that aren't necessarily in IT. And to be perfectly honest, IT is not my passion, but I'm just sticking to the format of the course and you know, grounding my niche and my background.
Yep.
So I do want to keep it IT because that's my background. But at the same time, a lot of the contacts that I have are not IT, and I feel it's sort of weird to reach out to somebody that doesn't necessarily have an IT focus and say, hey, I'm an IT freelance writer. You build widgets, but I do IT. So I'm just seeing sort of a disconnect there.
Yeah, I can understand. It's a good question. I think that you want to kind of just flip that around a little bit and say something along the lines of, I'm a freelance copywriting expert who focuses on writing marketing materials for the IT industry as well as, there's, you know, you can, if there's more than one niche that you want to focus on, you can do it that way. And I think that's the way you should present yourself in any emails that you send out to your friends, family, network connections, anything like that, is to say, I've started this new thing. I am a professional freelance copywriter. And so here's some things that I work on. I work on websites. I work on emails. I work on these kinds of things. And keep me in mind. And you don't even have to mention IT to that group.
Sure.
So I would use IT when you need it.
Okay.
So if you're sending out a warm email to a prospect who's in IT, well, then obviously you want to kind of play that up. Hey, I'm a copywriter and I focus on IT, and it's based on my background. Here's my core differentiator. Here's why you should consider me. Versus to a more general audience like you're talking about, hey, I'm doing this freelance copywriting thing. Here's some of the projects that I'm going to be working on, or that I have worked on, or however you want to spin it. And just downplay the IT. So you're going to kind of pull that card out and use it when you need it.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, and I'll definitely take that advice. So in reference to my website, like the first line of my website is sort of a catchphrase that I'm a freelance writer for the IT industry. So I've sort of just siloed myself there. Mm-hmm. Should I worry less about that? Because obviously I'm me sending out emails, they're going to see the email first, and then they'll probably click on my website link, but mm-hmm. I'm siloing myself to IT. Should I maybe try and just broaden the my beginning catchphrase sentence and just say like B2B business, or should I just stick with IT?
You could add that in if you wanted, but I don't think it's going to matter that much. I think if you really want to work with IT, then stick with what you have. But you could, what I would suggest doing is just adding something like, I'm a copywriter for the IT industry and B2B companies, or switch it around, B2B companies and IT in the IT industry.
Sure, like B2B companies with a focus on IT. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So, because that's true. And I can tell you that early in my career, I was all over the stinking place with writing for every kind of company you could imagine. And part of it was, sure. I was working with some agencies. So I was writing kind of tucked up behind them and doing writing for lots of different companies. But people are looking for a good writer, and yeah, you can blend that a little bit and maybe that'll broaden it enough where someone's not going to be turned off necessarily sure. by either. I don't think, you know, even your IT background, there's something to be said. And many companies that are going to want your services are going to have an IT angle anyway. So sure. I would think that's fine. But yeah, you could do that. You could add it, but keep it simple and don't go crazy with it. Just, you know, B2B companies specializing with a focus on the IT yeah. industry.
And I really took your advice when you reviewed my copy and my website, and I just took out, I cut down the sentences a lot. I think my website content is like half as long as it was before you reviewed it. So great. I definitely took your review to heart. So, and I just want to take this quick second to thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. You're welcome. And I'm glad because we tend to write, and I say this sometimes in the reviews, is that when we write like for a blog or we're writing for an article or something, and website is such a different animal. We've got to think mm-hmm. much shorter, much more, you know, much more condensed, not big long sentences. People aren't going to read it, you know, especially on a homepage, a landing page, definitely not. So we want to just kind of, not for a website anyway. If it's a sales landing page, then, you know, we're talking about a whole different animal, but for your website, you want to keep it kind of concise so people can skim it. But
thank you.
Great. Yeah. Well, very welcome. And definitely, you know, just change the way you're thinking about it, but don't ditch the IT altogether. Use it when you need it. Yeah. All right. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Great question. That's a common question for folks just getting into freelancing and just getting into businesses. You know, I think that people are nervous about narrowing their focus too much. And I can tell you that there's real power in narrowing your focus. And not, you don't want to have like a tiny little target market, but you definitely, having a specialization really does help. And I was working with Ed a couple of years back and going through one of his programs, as a matter of fact, and he had coached me and he said, based on my background and what I had done in previous lives, that I should look at focusing on helping women. And I panicked and I thought, I'm eliminating half the world's population by just focusing on women. And do I really want to do that? And it just, I was so uncomfortable. And I can tell you that I went ahead and did that. It was the best decision I'd ever made. It really made a difference with my being able to explain myself comfortably. I was able to connect. I work really effectively with women leaders, and that's who I was focusing on and continue to focus on. So really made a big difference. Gave me almost a confidence, like, I know my place now. I know my place in the world, so to speak. And so it was easier for me to start talking about what I do and why I do it. So just keep that in mind. All right, rolling right along here. Victoria is the next one up with a question. What version of Squarespace should I order? And Victoria, I'm going to apologize. I have absolutely no experience with Squarespace whatsoever. I have never used it. What I would recommend that you do is go on to the Q&A thread in the Facebook group and post that exact question. And that way Ed will see it and he may have some direction for you in regards to that or some things to consider. Unfortunately, I do not. If there's anyone else on the call who maybe has a little bit of experience with Squarespace, feel free to type in your thoughts for Victoria in the chat. And if you type in @ and then Victoria's name, just her first name @Victoria, then we'll be able to sort that out. So if you have an answer or some insight for her, please use @Victoria and then put your comments in. All right, Jim Rogers, next question. And Jim says, I haven't gotten there yet, but are the prices on the master schedule good for people of our skill level, or should we adjust them? There might be more info in that session that I haven't seen yet. So, and let me know if that's the case. So yes, there is more information in that session. But what's nice about the master fee schedule, and you'll see that I think, hold on, that is session 6. Session 6 has the master fee schedule. And what's nice about that is that it gives you a stick in the sand, so to speak, so that you know, okay, maybe I'm not comfortable charging quite that much, at least you know what common pricing is, you know, for someone who's got a little bit of experience. If you want to go out of the gate charging some of those prices and you feel comfortable doing that, then go ahead. Definitely, feel free to quote them. But most of the time, what we see is people coming through this program. The master's fee schedule, again, is just to get you a sense of what customary rates are. And then you can price yourself appropriately based on your experience level. So if you want to cut that down by maybe 20% out of the gate, but the idea is for you to get back up to those rates fairly quickly as you start getting a couple of clients, getting some project work and experience under your belt, you want to start building those prices back up. And let me know, Jim, if that's helpful, if you need more explanation there, but hopefully that answers your question. All right. And so the next question is from Holly. She says her website's ready to be submitted, but before I do that, I know we already discussed my niche last time and I got clarity, but my only reservation is wanting to make sure my niche is not too narrow now and there's work for writers in the niche. I write on my home's page as my name is Holly Owens as a health writer. I help create powerful marketing content that you need to help your patients, families, health practice succeed. This might include anything from website content to emails to health feature articles. So her question is, what's the most reliable way to check the viability of this particular market? Look at websites, and do I see many practices with websites, many of which have lots of health content, but wouldn't many small practices already have a marketing content person or staff? Great question. Oftentimes, again, people come in through this program and are thinking, gosh, you know, don't they already have someone? So you've got a couple of things in here that I want to address. So one of the best ways to do some homework on the market that you're looking at is exactly what you're talking about. Go and actually Google search on the actual client, the actual prospect, and take a look at their websites, make notes, see if, you know, is everyone blogging? Is everyone putting out case studies or white papers or those types of things? Do you see a trend across multiple websites where people are doing this, where this is taking place? So that's a good way to do it. The other thing is to search your competition. And this is something that's really important. Go look for healthcare web writers and see how they're positioning themselves, see how they talk about themselves, see what they specialize in. You can learn a lot from other people's websites, right? Your competitors' websites to see, and you're going to get some good ideas from that. So that's a great place to see, number one, are there hundreds of healthcare writers? And I can answer that already because there are. And if that's the case, then I don't want you to feel intimidated by that. It means that there's a demand. It means that there's a lot of need in that space. So if you're finding lots and lots of healthcare writers in focusing on the same thing you're focusing on, that means that there is a demand. And that's good news. That is very good news. If you Google or search for a writer in a niche that you're thinking about, and you only find a few, there may not be as much of a demand. But it's still worth looking into. Again, keep in mind that this whole program is designed to get you started. And where you start versus where you end up, even 6 months down the road, it's probably going to be a little bit different. So don't worry so much about, do I have it right now? It's going to be a little bit of a trial and error. We often refer to it as A-B testing, where you're out there and you're saying, okay, I'm going to try reaching out and connecting with people and give it some time, see how it goes. And if it doesn't go the way you expect or you're not getting the results you want, then you're going to pivot. You're going to make a slight change, try something a little bit different, maybe broaden that target audience, or maybe narrow it, depending on what you're finding. That is another thing to keep in mind, is that this is, you know, you're going to have to kind of see how it goes. But a great way to measure the market is to see how many other providers are already out there in terms of writers. And then, as far as would many small health practices already have marketing content person, maybe, maybe not. Depending on when you say small, it depends on how small they are. If they're too small, they're not going to have someone on staff. They're most likely going to have just enough staff to cover the services that they provide, but they're not going to have anyone on staff that's specifically doing that work. The next step up would be someone who's on staff who does other things. Their primary responsibility is, you know, maybe they're a, you know, some kind of a, maybe they're an administrative assistant or office manager or something, and they happen to have enough skills to do some of the writing, so they're blending that together. So that's common, depending again on the definition of small, is that you've got people on staff that are wearing more than one hat. And then you get up to the next level work, that practice might be big enough to actually hire somebody. The thing that you want to keep in mind is that turnover happens all the time. So some of these companies might be using a resource like you. They might be outsourcing that that service or that need to someone like you. And those things change all the time. Writers change, companies change their minds about who they want to use. So don't make any assumptions about whether or not they have someone already or whatever the case is. In the beginning, what you want to do is be reaching out to everyone in your target market and in that niche that you're focused on. And it's going to be an educational process. So you're going to start reaching out to people, and hopefully you're going to get feedback saying, sorry, not interested, or we already have someone. And you're going to be able to start shaping, you're going to have more knowledge about what that niche needs. And that's going to take a little bit of time. So you want to be patient with this process and learn as you go, but don't assume that they already have someone or that they already have someone they're happy with. Maybe they've grown enough, maybe they're in growth mode. So they used to have the office manager doing it. Now he or she no longer has time. Then they just haven't been able to find anyone else to take that on because everyone's been too busy. They just haven't taken the time. So you just never know. You're going to bump into some of these people that just the timing is just right. Right? They're in that growth mode. Office manager doesn't want to do this stuff anymore and just hasn't had the time to find a resource. So you just never know when you're going to run into those kinds of situations, but you want to keep an open mind that, hey, anybody, or who knows, maybe they could refer you. That's another thing, is you reach out to somebody and maybe it's a chiropractor, for example, and the chiropractor says, I don't need your help, but I know an acupuncturist who's a friend of mine down the street, he or she needs that kind of support, right? So you just never know. So it's a matter of going out with a kind of an open mind and a little bit of trial and error. So long answer to your question, but let me know if that's helped. And if you have more questions, please feel free to type in again, Holly, and let me know if that was gave you some direction. Yep, All right, just looking through here. All right. Can you folks still hear me? Because I see one person just scrolling through the chat right now. Yes, yes, good. Thank you. Holly said, yes, good ideas. Wonderful. Sally said that there's no voice. Sally, please type in the chat if that's still the case. If you haven't, hopefully you can hear me. And you should be on mute. Everybody's pretty much on mute when you first come on. So that's, hopefully you can hear me. Huh, interesting. Thank you, Thomas, for letting me know. You had to turn your volume way up. Helpful. Thank you for letting me know that. Yeah, my headset's been a little funny lately, so doesn't always work the way I'd like it to. All right, next question is from Zelko. Thank you for putting a question in. And he says, I work on my website, but at the same time, I started discussions with some IT managers that have directed me to more technical than marketing writing in the software industry. I feel that a mix of these types of writings is an option. But writing types are diverse. Is it okay for my experience? Is it okay to promote these types of writings in the beginning or to be more focused on one type? Great question. I would recommend that you be open to lots of things in the beginning. And so no, you don't want to just focus on one type of writing, because what ends up happening is that you go through this process. Again, it's a little bit of trial and error. You're kind of testing to see what works, what doesn't. And there's a couple reasons for that. And I would recommend that you be open and take all different kinds of projects up front. And because it's a learning curve, you're just getting started, you're learning about different things. And what you want to do is discover what you enjoy and what you're good at. You know, it took me a while to figure out, you know, I'm good at writing short copy like blogs. I did a lot of ghostwriting of blogs in the beginning of my copywriting career. And I'm good at it. I'm comfortable. I can crank out a really good 500, 700, 1,000 word article for a blog. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. I realized it's not something that I enjoyed that much. The other thing I didn't enjoy was email campaigns. It's not me, right? That's just something I'm not terribly comfortable with. Or sales landing pages. Am I capable of writing copy for sales landing pages? I am, but it's really not something that I enjoy. And I had to go through that experience a few times to realize this isn't where I want to be. This isn't what I want to be doing. So I would recommend that you keep an open mind, try lots of different things, unless there's something that you already know, you know what, I'm not doing white papers because it's just, I'm not cut out for white papers or just not something I enjoy. If you already know that, then obviously that's a different story. But I think in the beginning, it's really okay to be open to saying, you know what, I can serve any of your writing needs and see what comes up. Especially in the beginning. And if you're taking any work pro bono, then definitely don't be super picky. You want to start getting some clients. You want to start getting some samples and things that you can share as you move forward. And it's fine for that to be a bit more diverse and your background, your writing experience be a little more diverse. So Zelko, I hope that answered your question. Please feel free to type in the chat again if you need further clarification. I am going to roll on here. Great. Ah, Sally, great. Glad you were able to get your volume straightened out. Let me just double check. I think, Jim, I'm going to go to your second question. Jim asks, I have a few people in my network who run B2B marketing agencies. On Facebook, I asked if I should contact them. And I replied, approach them with the intent to simply inform them of your new endeavor. Any ideas on how I should word this when I communicate with them? Absolutely. If you have people in your network who are involved in marketing agencies who already know you, that's awesome. That's really awesome. And it's the same if you've gotten to that session in the training, and I'm just looking, I think it might be session 4. Maybe session 4 or session 5, where Edge talks about developing an email to send out to your network, to the people that you, the friends, family, colleagues, etc. And that's definitely, I would use the same format. And I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's something along the lines of, I just reaching out, hey, it's haven't talked to you in quite a while, or just and wanted to update you on a new direction that I'm heading with my career. Recently started copywriting and doing this kind of work with these kinds of clients. If you know of anybody that might need this type of support, please keep me in mind. So you're going to kind of follow that same wording, if you will. As far as agencies are concerned, if you wanted to do something a little bit different just for them, then I would recommend that that might be a good thing to do. And to reach out to them and say something along the same lines, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm entered a new career, you know, and started a new endeavor, and I'd be very interested in hearing about how your agency hearing more or finding out if your agency works with outside writers, and maybe be a little more direct with the agency contact. It's just, you know, is there someone I can talk to at your agency about outside writers? So I'm hoping that gives you just, you know, a slightly different take on the same email. But as I mentioned, you could be a little bit more direct with the folks for the marketing who are connected to the marketing agencies or work in them. Because it would be great to have a referral if they could say, hey, who should I talk to about getting into about writing for your agency? So you might end with some kind of a question like that. Jim, I hope that helps. All right. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, Thomas, thank you. Session 5 of sample. I knew there were sample emails in there. I'm hoping that's... All right. So Jeff, you're up next with the next question. And Jeff says, I'm looking for agencies, mainly B2B, but I'm also open to B2C. So he's got a couple of questions here. Where do I find them, both generally and on LinkedIn? How much annual revenue should they have before I'm sure they can afford freelancers? You had answered that first question on Facebook a couple months ago, but I couldn't find the answer. That's interesting. And then 3, my focus is B2 a nonprofit, and I realize there won't be a strong need for that at agencies. You might be surprised. So how do I get past that and convince them to give me a shot? I realize that most writers at agencies write stuff that's all over the map, both in terms of project type and niche. I can tell you, Jeff, and to anyone else who's on the call, that agencies are a pretty cool place to get your feet wet. They don't necessarily pay super well. Some do, but many don't. They're looking for, because they have to turn around and mark your work up. They have to add, you know, their profit margin onto the work that you do. So the pay isn't necessarily great, but it is a wonderful way to get working with clients that you might otherwise never have a chance to write for. So just something to keep in mind. So finding them, your first question is, where do you find them, both generally and on LinkedIn? And so just doing a search, any of your favorite search engine, to look for marketing agencies. And you can do that in a couple of different ways. I would recommend that you try a couple different keywords to search on, and it might be your immediate area. If you're near a fairly good-sized city, if you live near one and it's something you want to start with some local agencies, you might try that. The other thing to do is look to see, and before I go away from that, so searching on marketing agencies, and then maybe you could even put nonprofit, because I know there are agencies that do work with nonprofits, but they typically work with bigger ones, nonprofit organizations that have a bigger budget. But it still might be worth doing that, because some agencies do specialize in that niche. So think about mixing different keywords together to find different agencies, things like website. Some agencies are do website, they build or revamp websites. I worked for one like that in Minneapolis for a couple of years. I also worked with one that specialized in that locally to me as well. And so you can do that kind of thing just to make sure that marketing agencies are doing what you think that and the industry. So put marketing agency and then the industry that you're focused on. And that should bring up some results for you that would be interesting. The next step would be to use LinkedIn, and you can use the same kind of search on LinkedIn. The other thing that I would do is spend some time when you look for marketing agencies on LinkedIn. You can then, what I believe what LinkedIn will do is bring up results for you based on, do you have any connections at that agency already? And that's a really powerful tool. So you can look to see if an agency has a LinkedIn company page, and that's what will come up for you, hopefully, when you do that search on LinkedIn. And then the company page will actually show you how many people that you already know who work at that marketing agency. So LinkedIn is, personally, I think, is a better place to go. Unless you, a better place to start, simply because of the information that you get, the extra information you get from LinkedIn that you wouldn't get necessarily just on a Google search, but you could combine the two. So that would be the best thing to do, is look for marketing and advertising, I think the category that LinkedIn uses. So that's a great place to find them. As far as annual revenue, that's really difficult to put a finger on. If you look at some of the smaller ones, they actually might need outside writers. The two agencies I worked for, oh my goodness, I don't remember revenue numbers, but they were both had under 20 employees. So in my mind, very small. The one I worked for locally, maybe, I don't know if they had 12 employees, and then the one in Minneapolis, probably a little closer to 20, maybe somewhere between 15 and 20 employees in-house. So very small agencies, and they had plenty of work, plenty of ghostwriting blog work for me to do. So it's hard to tell. Some of these agencies, if you get into a bigger one, if you start looking at slightly bigger agencies, it might be harder to get in. They're going to be a lot more critical of you, and they're going to, you know, take a harder look at you. They're probably going to want more experience. They very possibly might want more experience, maybe, maybe not, unless you can get a referral into that agency. So if there's someone there that, someone who works there that you already know, can connect you and refer you, then that's a different story. But some of the bigger agencies might be a little more selective about who they use for writers. If they're working with larger clients, they're going to be pickier. So just keep that in mind. That doesn't mean you can't approach them. I would approach all of them and see what comes up. You just never know what their needs are. And then as far as nonprofit, yes, there are agencies that focus on nonprofits, but again, they're going to be the bigger nonprofits, not the smaller localized. They're going to be more national type nonprofits or you know, regional larger organizations. So that's why I'm thinking to try and just rereading your last the last part of your question here, and try a lot of different sizes of agency. Don't limit yourself. Again, you don't know until you reach out, to be perfectly honest. And I was fortunate. I got I actually knew someone. I actually ended up reporting to a colleague of mine, someone that I had worked with in a previous life, was working at an agency in Minneapolis, and that's how I connected. And I reached out to her, and I said to her, I think I sent her one of those emails. Hey, just haven't talked to you in a long time, but want to let you know I'm doing something new, and would love to connect with you if you have a need. And she got right back to me and said, I would love to talk with you because right now I'm doing a lot of the writing and I don't have time. And so hence started a 2.5 year relationship of my writing website copy as well as ghostwriting blogs for and other types of things. So I did that for their clients as well as I wrote some professional executive summaries and things of that nature for the owner of the agency as well. So I did some work for the owners as well. So you just never know. And that was the one that was probably 15 or so in-house employees. Somewhere around there. So I hope that helps. I hope that answers your question. Awesome. Holly, hey, I see your question. What is an executive summary? So, an executive summary, I'm trying to remember the circumstance under which they asked me to do that. But depending on the company, so an agency is probably going to put together a pretty honking proposal for to pitch their client. So if they're going after a bigger organization, they have to put together a pretty robust proposal. And so part of what I helped work on, sometimes I worked on their proposals, and not so much the pricing part, that was something I didn't get to see, but I worked on the background information. And so an executive summary is usually a couple of pages, can be anywhere from one page to maybe up to 4 or 5, depending on the size of the organization and how long they've been in business. But it basically tells the reader all about the company, about its history, about its strengths, and its vision, where it's headed. So it's kind of a snapshot of here's why we exist, here's where we came from, and here's where we're headed. And it's kind of a salesy thing, because if it's part of a proposal, like I'm saying, for a larger, if they're going out for a large contract, they're going to put together a pretty extensive proposal. So an executive summary is something that helps them talk about their founders, helps them talk about their history, and then helps them talk about their key strengths so that the reader can get a sense of what this company is all about, how and why it was founded, how long it's been in business, what its key objectives are and where it's headed, that kind of thing. So it's like a mixture of information that gets put into what's called an executive summary. And that's hard to write for your own company. It's sort of like us putting together our websites, right? It's kind of hard because we're doing the same kind of thing. We're talking a lot about ourselves, our background. It's that same type of approach or same information, but just presented in a different format. So that's a multiple page document that becomes part of something, usually a proposal of some sort. So I hope that helps, Holly. Great questions today. Thank you all for being so involved and participating and using the chat. It's terrific to see you all taking advantage of that today. And I am still open to taking questions if you have any, but I'm going to move just to the next slide here. And I would love to know what has been valuable for you so far in our discussion. What have you found most useful? Please type a capital V. And then let me know if there's any one thing that really stood out that helped you today. And I see the comments too about the LinkedIn videos that we have there. I'm glad you found those helpful. Yeah, LinkedIn's a great tool. I've been using LinkedIn for a long time and I've gotten a fair amount of business off of it. So Holly says the idea of creating an elevator pitch and how to research the market. Great. Great, great, great. Jim says the short work sessions are better than no work sessions. Absolutely. So many people, as I mentioned, come through this program and they're working full time and trying to make this work. And I did that not with one of these programs, but when I first started my copywriting business, I was working full time and I worked 7 days a week. It was crazy. I worked Saturdays and Sundays. I worked evenings. It was just exhausting and very, very challenging. So I understand what that could be like. But what the best thing to do is to think, what's one thing? Can I get one email out tonight before I go to bed? Maybe it's just you're exhausted. It's been a long day at your full-time job and you're just thinking, I don't want to miss everything. Is there, you know, can I spend 15 minutes and do something? And what can I do in 15 minutes? So don't worry about it being 15 minutes a day. It's better than no minutes a day because you're not making progress. You really want to just keep inching along. It's okay. Because once you get through the program, you get your website set up, you get things rolling, then that's where things will change. So glad that was helpful for you. Thomas says the simplicity of the approach Ed and his team lay out, all the templates and the videos on LinkedIn too. Good. I'm glad that this is, you're finding the program to be simple to follow. That's great. That's good feedback. Appreciate it. Jeff says, you gave even better answers to my questions than I had hoped. Oh, good. Nice. Now I'm not so nervous about talking with business people. Thank you. You're very welcome. Yeah, just, you know, I approach everyone as a friend. I really do. If it's someone that, you know, how can I help you? What do you have going on? What are your challenges in your business? Tell me about that. What's your biggest challenge right now? You know, and people love to talk about what's bugging them. That's a good question to have on the ready too. It's like, so how can I help? What do you have going on and how can I help you? Melanie says, Tom's question and your answer about how to approach his niche and also opening up conversation to other B2B companies. Great. Great. And Janet says, the information is always great. Even when I don't have any questions, I get answers. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that, Janet. It's true. You're going to, if you haven't encountered these things that other people have questions about, you will. You're going to come into that because you're going through the program and you're going to run up against these things. But I'm glad that the answers are helpful for everybody. Why we record it. All right. And Salih had a question. So I'm going to jump in and answer that. He said, I need some clarification on lists of friends, family, and so on in session 4. And I'm going to assume that you went through session 4 already, Salih. And I'm hoping that you downloaded the starter list because the starter list is really just gives you a lot of information. And I think that a lot of times people feel nervous. I know when I first started, I was scared to send emails out to some of these people because I thought they're not going to care about me. They aren't even going to remember me. And I was very nervous about hitting send. And I tell a story. Most of you folks are new in this program, but I've often tell a story about literally running away from I had the emails all set up to go. All I had to do was hit send and I couldn't do it. I ran away from my desk like a silly little girl and just was scared to pieces to send these emails out to people that I thought they're not going to remember me. Maybe they don't like me. Maybe, you know, I had all these things going through my head. So I definitely encourage you. And then I hit send and then I got like two or three projects out of that first round of emails. And it was literally the same email that you're going to be sending out if you haven't already to your friends and family. It's amazing how helpful people want to be. And you tend to forget that. So the starter list is the best place, Salih, for you to go and use that. So previous employers, don't be afraid to reach out to them. Definitely. Your spouse's network or your network, any other places that you spend time, perhaps you're involved in some kind of a club or an organization. Maybe it's a social club or social organization. Maybe it's your church family, something like that. Everybody's involved in different networks of people. And that is got to be a little bit creative because you just never know who knows who. And I have, in my experience, sending these kinds of emails out to even just friends. It's amazing who they know, people that they might know who know business owners and already have some business owners that are on their list. Just, you know, this girlfriend of mine owns a whatever, you should contact her. You know, let me get you in touch with her or him or whatever the case may be. So don't hesitate to send these emails out, because if you do it the right way, it's not going to upset anyone. First of all, if you're wording them in a way that's just, hey, keep me in mind, you know what, if I'm not interested in helping you, then I'm going to hit delete and you'll never hear from me. But most people, I was amazed at how many email responses I got where people said, wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations. I was amazed. I was like, wow. And people I hadn't spoken to in quite some time were getting back to me and saying, good for you. This is exciting. I'll keep you in mind. And then a number of people got back to me saying, I have someone you should talk to. So it's uncomfortable, and it's for me, it was frightening, but it's definitely something I encourage you to do. And Salih, if you would just type in, if you need further clarification on that, please type it in to the chat, and I'm happy to either bring you on or see if I can answer it based on your question. And Zelko says, discussions on diverse writing options about using agencies. Thank you for your answers. So glad you found that valuable. And Thomas, yes. That's why I tell that story, because I literally ran out of my office like maybe two or three times. I just couldn't do it. Every time I went to hit the enter button to send it, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't. And I'd run away. And I'd come back in and I'm like, all right, I got to get this done. And then when I started getting the responses, it was amazing. It just felt so good to see people being positive and supportive. And then I ended up getting a very large project out of that first round of emails, a very large project. It took a little time. They brought me on writing. It was to a woman business owner that I had connected with a few years before. And she said, you know, it's ironic that you sent me this, because we're looking for somebody. We need some help with writing. And it started out small and then turned into one of the biggest projects. I think it was like a $40,000 project over the course of 2 years that I worked with them on. So, and that was out of that first round of emails to friends and family. So, and my network. So be inspired, please be inspired and hit send. It'll be worth it. Janet has another question. I am going to approach some shops in town that are hemp resellers. Do I need business cards to leave with them? Good question. You don't necessarily need to leave business cards. You can create something online yourself if you want to do a handout with a little more information, maybe a half page or maybe a full page of information that you could design and do yourself if you wanted to do it that way. Just try it. That would include your contact information, but also maybe a little bit of background about you, the types of projects that you can take on. And maybe even you want to use some of the information that might be coming, that might appear on your landing page, on your homepage, is your core differentiator, why they would be interested, why they would want to work with you. and some of the things that I like to say have wow factor, and that's also something that should be on your homepage as well, is do you have some experience that your target audience would look at and say, wow, that's really cool, I want to work with that person. So think about putting things on your homepage in particular that have some wow factor for your visitors. And so this one sheet handout or this half a sheet handout, you could do the same thing. Is just add some information, just brief, skimmable. Don't make it too wordy. You don't want 10 paragraphs of information. Keep it short and to the point. As far as business cards are concerned, they're inexpensive enough that if you want to have some made up, you can do an online service like Vistaprint. I use Vistaprint for a lot of different marketing materials. You can design your own, and you can get a little box of like 50 business cards for, I don't know, $12 or something. They're not expensive. So if you choose to do business cards, they also will send them to you pretty quickly. So if you order something on Vistaprint, they'll turn it around in like a week, and you'll have them in a week. So, but if you want to do something sooner than that and you want to do it yourself, you can design something very simple online on your own using even just a Word document, you know, add some color to it, put it on colored paper or something like that, just that it stands out a little bit. But you don't have to have business cards unless you think you're going to be doing a lot of networking and you want to hand them out. Janet, I hope that helps. Hope that answered your question. Jeff, thank you. You're funny. Sharing my past struggles and fears helps you feel normal. 3 cheers for me. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I have lots of stories. I've been through a lot of different, I actually owned a couple different types of businesses, but started copywriting about 6 years ago and started right where you folks are. Just coming out of a business, I had actually been laid off, which was a huge celebration for me, and had already started kind of on the side my writing business. And so when I got laid off, I dove in full time, and it was great. So it was a forced entry into copywriting full time because I lost my full time job. And great change of direction for me. And yes, I've been through lots of really uncomfortable situations, made lots of mistakes, and come out on the other side just fine. And partly because I went through one of Ed's programs. His programs really are great. I'm a big fan. So, oh, great. Janet, you have a graphic design background. Goodness, woman, definitely do it yourself. Yeah, keep it simple. Don't go too crazy. Print it out on your own printer, or you could even do the same thing with Vistaprint. If you have a design, you can upload your design. They'll print it for you, or you know, go to Staples even. I do. I have a couple of things that I have Staples print out for me on a as-needed basis when I'm doing a workshop. I give workshops, and so the handouts, I have them. I had a professional graphic designer design it, and then I'll go and have Staples print out 25 of them for me or something at a time. They do a very nice job with printing if you want something a little more, they do a good job with something if you wanted a little more nicer stock or, you know, whatever. So I absolutely would recommend you do that. Great. And so Lee says, this is encouraging, enthusiastic for me right now. I'll do it. Great. I'm glad to hear that. And Vistaprint has a build your own website option. I've seen that on there. I don't know anyone who's used it, Melanie. I have seen that on their website as well. I didn't use it. I use Wix also. I know someone in the group mentioned Wix. That's who I use. So, and I love the flexibility of being able to do that myself. Yeah, take a look at Melanie. Yeah, take a look at the free trial. Yeah, see what it's like. Just be careful not to waste too much time with that kind of thing. You want to make sure that you're putting your time and effort in the right place. All right, folks. Well, we're rounding up our time together here. So what I want to do is switch to action items. And so we end our call by just asking for you to type in the chat again with a capital A and let me know what your top action item is going to be for the coming week, for the coming 2 weeks. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something we talked about today. It could be anything at all that you really want to accomplish. Thomas says, send out those emails. Hit send. Absolutely. Go, go, go. Victoria says, finish my website. Finally. Good for you. You know, once you get the website behind you, you feel free to, you can really move forward through the rest of the sessions. The heavy lifting is in the first couple of sessions of this program where you're doing the positioning, thinking about your website, your LinkedIn profile, and then getting your starter list together. That stuff is probably the most labor intensive. And then the rest are a little bit different. There's still plenty of work to do, but a little bit different type of work. Janet says, I just posted my website for review and now leave it alone, stay off of it, and start lesson four. Good. Holly also, submit website, LinkedIn revamp, and fill out starter list for session four. Great. Jess says, I'm going to start looking for agencies and finish the videos on LinkedIn. Great. And Zelko says, finish your website. And Zelko, I hope I've been pronouncing your name properly. I've been saying that all through the call and just realized I hope I'm saying that right. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you to everybody for being here. This was a terrific group. Lots of participation, and that's excellent. Lots of great questions. Again, there's no such thing as a silly question or, every question is a good question as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad that you were all here to participate and that you came fully prepared to participate. That's awesome. So wish you all good luck as you move through the next sessions and you move through the program. Remember to be active in the Facebook group. Ed and I are here. And we're here to support you on a daily basis, so don't hesitate to post questions in the Facebook group and let us help you get through this and get to your first client. So with that said, I'm going to end the call. Good luck to all of you, and I look forward to seeing you all on Facebook. Take care and have a great rest of your week.